funny. I felt a real surge when David got up and said, I met my wife here. I heard a few amens and hallelujahs over in church. Well, it's good to be in church, whether you meet her or him or not. You're here because God's here. Amen. So you may meet that one, but anyway, we're glad you're here for the right motives. We're going to be talking about fasting, the prayer or the power of fasting. And for you who've been around for a while, how many have ever fasted before? I mean, on purpose. You know, you didn't have money, but you actually did it spiritually because you wanted to. Okay. There are a few of us that didn't and haven't. I remember my first time. I got born again on a university campus in Tennessee. I was a football player, and we never missed a meal if we could help it. And I remember I joined a campus group like this, Pastor Ron, and they said, we're going to have a three-day fast. I said, okay, what does that mean? Well, you're going to go without food, and we're going to break it together on Friday night, but we're going to not eat for 3 days. You can have water, but that's it. And I remember, okay, whatever that means, I'll just go. But for me, it wasn't really, there was no spiritual dimension to it. It was just going hungry. You know what I'm saying? And so I remember when that 3 days were over, I was counting the hours to when we could break it. And I remember I ate more when we broke the fast than I did could have eaten in the 3 days if I had normal meals. And I was just so sick and closed Shoney's that night. And they were giving away strawberry pies at the end and said, we can't keep them. Because I said, I'll take them. And, you know, here I am eating at midnight because I'd gone without food for 3 days. And I thought I got to make up for it. So that's not what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about... Really, it's not fasting. We should call it prayer, fasting, and consecration. Because when you don't eat, according to Scripture, if you don't pray and if you don't set aside yourself for God's purposes to be drawn closer to God, you have just gone without food and not much spiritually has happened. So it's not just a physical exercise of abstaining from food. There is a spiritual dimension that you and I enter into. In fact, if you want to know the truth, it's more spiritual than it is physical. How many here say, I really want to do what God wants me to do? Have you ever prayed that prayer, said, God, I really want to do your will? What is the thing that prevents you and I from really walking in God's will? It's one word. Distraction. Distraction from the world, distraction from our own flesh, distraction from the enemy. How many know your physical flesh has a voice? Your body talks to you. How many know that your body's going to talk to you to do things or buy things or eat certain things? I remember if I tried to abstain from stuff, my body will talk to me, say, you deserve a chocolate piece of cake or a key lime pie. You know, and I say, no, or you deserve a new shirt, or you deserve this or that. You know, it's like my wife tells me, we're going to Chico's, and we don't know if we need anything until we get there. Then we'll find out if we need something. That's, there's something going on there. And it's not just women, it's also men as well. But our flesh talks to us. Can I tell you what the world talks to you? Jesus said that your enemy is the world, the flesh, and the devil. The enemy, there's a spiritual dimension, ladies and gentlemen, that when you fast and you break through this dimension of catering to your own fleshly desires and giving into the world system and saying, God, I'm consecrating myself for these three days, not just to go without food, but to get close to God. That's when you really find out the power of fasting. That's when you really understand it's not just about being hungry. It's not just about doing something that the pastors want me to do. It's about me coming closer to God. And when I get closer to God, things happen. The power and the anointing of God begins to come through my life. I remember one time I was at Georgia Tech and I was praying for people and people were getting healed, people with back problems, and this guy with his leg was shorter, and he was having all kind of problems. This person who had she couldn't sleep. We were praying for these people, and instantly they were getting healed, and I'm thinking, man, Man, this is great. You know what God told me? He said, it was because you fasted 5 days last month that I'm answering your prayers today to touch and to come into the situation. It wasn't because you were an anointed preacher or you prayed a good prayer. It was you came in and you consecrated yourself and my spirit was activated through your ministry. I want the Spirit of God to be activated through us. I don't want us just to be stale Christians who kind of go to church on Sunday, but there's a dynamic, spirit-infused power that comes through us. That's what fasting can do if we do it right. The object of this sermon is for us to instill a desire and a discipline to live a lifestyle of fasting. A lifestyle of fasting. I want to read this scripture to you. It's very familiar. In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus went up on the mountain of transfiguration. He took Peter, James, and John with him, and they saw the glory of God. They came down. They wanted to make 3 temples to Jesus and to the Old Testament saints, and Jesus said, no, we're not going to do that. Then they come upon a sign where his disciples, the other 8 disciples that were left, or 9 disciples that were left, they were trying to cast the demon out of a demon-possessed boy in Matthew chapter 17. And here's what it says. When they came up to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, because he has seizures and suffers terribly. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, you unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. And Jesus rebuked the spirit, and the demon came out of the boy, and he was healed at once. Then the disciples pulled Jesus aside and said privately, why could we not cast it out? And Jesus said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as the size of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. You can say, move it from here and it will go to there, and nothing will be impossible to you. However, this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. So what was Jesus saying? He's saying, you need more faith, but the faith that you need and the power to exercise spiritual dominion over the demonic only comes out through prayer and fasting. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world that is pretty well broken. How many would agree with that? There are spiritual things that are happening in our world that cannot be explained through politics or economics or global warming or any other thing you want to blame. There is a spiritual dimension, and unless the people of God really tap into the power of God, we're going to have to deal with these things spiritually because they're spiritually appraised. So fasting is one of those ways by which we connect with God and we're able to do warfare in the spiritual realm, and Almighty God shows up and great things happen. Fasting is denying the flesh its necessities so our inner man can be more in tune with the Spirit of God. Remember what I said before. The problem with not doing God's will is we get distracted by the world, the flesh, and the enemy. When we get in tune with God, we shut away the desire to do this, to watch this, to eat that, and all of a sudden we're able to center in and really focus in on the Spirit of God. We're able to commune with God. Be able to be with God. Remember the story in the New Testament where the disciples got hungry and they went over to buy some Chick-fil-A and they came back a little bit later and Jesus said, look, I'm not hungry. Have you eaten anything? He said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Can I tell you what? There's a sustenance that transcends physical food. There is a power, there is a contentment, there is something we can get from God that's more satisfying than the nutrition you get from eating food. And God says, we got to fast. Jesus said, we fast. The Old Testament saints, they all fasted. The people, when they had to repent for their nation, they fasted. Isaiah fasted for the nation of Israel, and we're going to read that in just a second. So it's when we go without food, not just to go hungry, but to attain intimacy with God and be able to push back spiritual forces that are in our way. Amen? Are you with me? Let's go to the next slide, please. Here we are, Isaiah 58, 6 through 12. I want to read verse 4 to begin with. You can follow on your Bibles, or we have the rest on overhead. Isaiah is asking God a rhetorical question in verse 3. He says, "Why have we fasted and you have not seen? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice?" And God says, "Behold, on the day of your fast, you find your own desires. You're distracted. You drive hard all your workers, and behold, you fast for contention and strife and strike with a wicked fist. You do not fast like it is today, like I've called you, so you could hear on high. Is it not a fast like this which I choose?" Notice what he says. "To undo the bands of wickedness, to break the yokes, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you remove the yoke from your midst, and the pointing of the finger, and the speaking of wickedness, and if you offer yourself to the hungry, and be satisfied to the need of the afflicted, then your light will shine in the darkness, and your gloom," I think next slide, "your gloom will become like the midday. And the Lord will continually guide you." Say, "Guide me." God will be in the business of guiding you and I. "And he will satisfy your desires." He will satisfy your desires. Can I tell you what? There comes a point in fasting, when you hit the third day of fasting. About 2 years ago, my wife and I, we went on a 40-day fast. We didn't fast solid food for 40 days, but we fasted. No food, liquids only, then a Daniel fast. We did it for 40 days. There was something that was happening where I forgot about eating altogether. And there was a unity and a presence of God that I sensed that I'd never sensed before. So when you put away all these distractions, when you say no to the flesh and the desires of the flesh, it leaves time for God's Spirit to come and minister to us. It's not just going hungry. You're actually achieving something, ladies and gentlemen. You're growing closer to God. And I love these promises. He says, "And your gloom will become like midday." How many have ever had a bad thing happen to you? How many have ever felt gloomy? Okay, we need to repent for not being honest in church. We all have. He says, "Your gloom will disappear like midday. And you will, and the Spirit of God will continually guide you and satisfy you. In the scorched places, he'll give strength to your bones. You'll be like a well-watered garden and like the springs of waters that do not fail. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins, and you will raise up the age-old foundations, and you'll be called the repair of the breach and the restorer of the streets in which to dwell." That's a pretty good promise. That God's presence will come, and he will satisfy you in a way that natural food cannot satisfy you. It's amazing. Point number two, fasting is for us to humble ourselves before God, acknowledging our inadequacies and our great need for God. Folks, can I tell you what? We need God in this nation. We need God in this nation. We don't necessarily need more money. We don't need necessarily more public assistance. We need a move of the Spirit where God moves, and the only way God's going to move is when we pray, fast, and consecrate ourselves to be God's people, to be God's instruments, to be God's weapons. I love the story in Daniel. Daniel proclaimed a fast. In fact, he was repenting for his people. And here's what it says in Daniel chapter 9, verses 3. "In the first year of the reign of Daniel, I observed the books of the numbers and the years that were revealed. And the word of the Lord of Jeremiah the prophet completed the desolation of Jerusalem, namely for 7 years. So Jerusalem had been destroyed. They had been taken captive by the Persians. So he said, I came and made my attention to the Lord to seek him with prayer, supplication, fasting, and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and loving kindness to those who love him and those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquitous acts, and wickedly we've refused you, even turning aside from the commandments and your ordinances and not obeying your prophets. We need to repent. He didn't say, I'm sorry, God. He said, we need to fast and pray. We need to repent for our nation. How many know we've got some pretty bad things happening in the world we need to repent of on behalf of people who don't know any better and half of people who don't know God? We need to repent for some things that we're responsible for, being lackluster or giving into to the flesh or following the secular narrative that's in our culture and say, well, I go to church, I believe in God, but I just want to live like the rest of the world. We need to repent. We need to say, God, we have turned away. And when we pray and fast and consecrate ourselves, there's an anointing that comes that not only forgives us, but gives us power to be the solution for the very problem we're praying for. Amen. That's what God wants you to be. God wants you to be light. He wants you to be the candle set upon the hill. He wants you to be the voice crying in the wilderness. Not Pastor Ron, not Ben, not Garrett. It's not just Sylvia. He wants you to be the very thing that you know is missing in the culture. And how do we do that? By prayer and fasting and consecrating ourselves. So Daniel's praying and fasting for 21 days. And I love what it says in chapter 10, verse 10. He said that all of a sudden when he was praying, an angel came to him and touched him, and his hand touched him, and he started trembling, and he fell on his knees. And this angel said to him, O Daniel, understand that the words I'm about to tell you, and stand up, for I've been sent to you. And when he spoke to him, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for on the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and humbled yourself by fasting, your words were heard in heaven. And I came in response to your words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia resisted me for 21 days. And I did battle with him, but because you prevailed, I was able to overcome the spirit of the prince of Persia, and I was able to come and render aid to you. Here Daniel is praying for 10 days, 15 days, 20 days, nothing happens. On the 21st day, an angel comes and touches him and says, I heard your prayer 21 days ago, but I had to do battle in the heavenlies. Because you were fasting and praying, you empowered me to be able to overcome the demonic so I could come and minister to you and render aid to your prayer. Isn't that amazing? 21 days. So it doesn't happen necessarily on the first day. It may not happen on the second day. It may not happen on the third day. But one thing I know it does, something happens when you pray and when you fast and you consecrate yourself. As we set ourselves apart to pray, as we set ourselves apart and consecrate ourselves to say, I'm not just going to go without food. I'm going to spend time in your word. I'm going to spend time praying. I'm going to spend time ministering. I'm going to spend time doing what you've called me to do, God, so that I can see your power manifested here. Amen. I love that. How many would like an angel to show up and say, I've heard your prayer? And say, you keep going. You're on the right track. He's already done that through Scripture. Now, will we do the hard yards and not be distracted by the flesh? And say, God, I'm going to abstain from food, but not just so I can lose weight. Thank God for that. But I'm not doing it to lose weight. The physical profits little. I'm doing it because I'm gaining something spiritual. I'm gaining spiritual weight. I'm gaining access through my prayers. I'm gaining power to push back the forces of darkness so you can come and you can use me as your instrument. Let me give you the six benefits of fasting. Six benefits of fasting. Number one, the first benefit of fasting is victory in spiritual warfare. Victory in spiritual warfare. Have you ever, you may not be a very spiritually appraised person, but you have you ever felt oppressed and everything was going good? Have you ever felt that things were negative when in the natural things should be good? That's oppression. Have you ever felt a presence when you went into a certain area or a certain geographical situation and all of a sudden the atmosphere around you changed and it wasn't good? That's called spiritual oppression. We live in a spiritual realm, ladies and gentlemen. We are in the physical, but the real you is a spirit being. You have a body, you have a soul, you think, feel, and want, but the real you is a spiritual being. And when we go into certain areas, when I travel, my wife and I, we travel, we pick up different geographical principalities and spiritual powers that are in that area. And you can tell if there's a spirit of lust or greed or all these spirits that are in different places that have dominion because they've been there because people give in to those particular vices and they keep those spirits alive and active in the atmosphere. So we as Christians, when we go into an environment, we need to change the environment. We need to change the atmosphere. And when we do, we need to discern what's going on. I remember my first time ever leading an international trip. It was 1988. Some of you were not born. I took a trip to Auckland, New Zealand. And I thought, well, I'll get a great evangelistic team, a lot of strong guys, football players, and we'll go and preach, and we'll see a great thing happen. And I put out a bulletin for all the ministries from the East Coast to the West Coast for people who wanted to come. After the dust cleared, Michael, we had 11 people on my team. We had 3 guys and 9 girls, counting me, so it was 12. We had three guys and 9 girls. In fact, the guys on the team, it was so bad, the girls had to help them with the luggage at the airport. That's how bad it was. My best men were women. Amen. And I thought, God, you know, I was expecting, you know, and we get to New Zealand. I'd never been there before. And we go to Auckland, and Auckland was in the winter, which is reverse, is summer for us, winter for them. But it was cloudy and rainy every day, and the campus was it was very dark, and all the students were into goth, and the gothic look with black and piercings, and it was just very, very dark and very spiritually oppressed. And I remember getting out there and trying to preach and minister and invite people. No one would come. They wouldn't even take our handbills. It was just terrible. And we did that for a week, and I said, wait a minute, this is a spiritual problem. So I said, we're going to fast for 3 days, get off the campus, stay in our hotel. And we got together, and we said, we're going to pray 3 times a day. We're going to fast for 3 days. We need God to show up. And we did it. Stayed off the campus. The 4th day when we went back, it was like the sun came out. People were taking stuff from us. We were able to minister, inviting people to our seminars and stuff. And people were getting saved and born again. But there was one person who kept resisting us. She was the president of the university at that time. She was a self-proclaimed homosexual lesbian and very vocal about it. She hated Christians. She tried to get us off the campus. And she was the student body president. And we just start praying for her. And she'd come to some of our meetings and she'd say, well, you guys you're against me and I don't believe in God. I don't believe the Bible. You Christians are fake anyway, blah, blah, blah. And we would just love on her and tell her that God has a plan for her life. And here's what the Bible says. You can change by the power of God. Lo and behold, in about 2 weeks, when we got on the plane to leave, she got born again and was in our group before we left. And it wasn't because of great preaching. It wasn't because we were nicer than anybody, any of the other Christians on campus. It was because God showed up because we pushed back the forces of darkness through fasting, through prayer. See, what you can't do in your own natural abilities, God can do through the Spirit if you will yield your physical body to His spiritual anointing. See, sometimes we try too hard to help God. Just get out of the way and say, God, use me. Let me cut off what I've been doing. And God, if you will use me, if I'll dedicate and consecrate to myself, I will get more done in 2 months than I can in 2 years if I will do this. And that's why we need to pray and fast. It's not so, well, okay, we did our thing, we'll tick the box, okay, we did it again, we're religious. No, no, no. We want to push the ball down the court. Why? We want people to be empowered. We want to push back the forces of darkness off this city, off this campus, and particularly out of your life. And that's why fasting and consecration is so important. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, Jesus was led by the Spirit in the desert for 40 days. Everybody say 40 days. 40. He was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread throughout the whole country. Can I tell you what? Jesus had not performed a single miracle. The only thing changed, he fasted and got with God. He came back and he became headline news. No miracles. Just said, man, this guy has come back. What happened? He fasted. He got with God the Father. And all of a sudden, the anointing and the power of the anointing preceded him. And he didn't have to prep it because God did it before him. Number two, the second point. It brings our fleshly cravings under submission. You know who your biggest enemy is? It's not your roommate. It's not your parents. It's not your professor. It's not your pastor, thank God. The biggest enemy you've got is you. You are the biggest nemesis you will face in your life. If you can conquer your flesh, you are going to win at life. I want you to nudge your neighbor and say, I hope you heard that. If you can conquer your own flesh, you're going to win at life. If you can put down the cravings, if I can put down all the things that my fleshly body and my soul wants, if I can put it down, I don't need another set of keys to a new car. I don't need new shoes. I don't need another steak dinner. I need God in my life. I don't need it. Neither do you. You need God. I need God. So what are we going to do? We're going to consecrate ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to pray. We're going to say, God, please show up. We don't want to live like we did last year. We want to be better. We want your power. We want your anointing. We want people to know that God lives in my life. And when they come to this church, the living God is present. God's in this place. They're not just playing church. It's not just having a service. God shows up. His Spirit is here. We got to put our distractions and our flesh under this thing called the dominion of the Holy Spirit. Philippians 3:19 says that people who go the opposite way, away from God, it says their end of destruction, because their God is their appetite, and the glory and the shame, they have set their mind on earthly things. Philippians 3:19. Paul also says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them out who cause division, defenses, and contrary to doctrines which they have learned, and avoid them, for they serve not the Lord Jesus, but they serve their own belly. Ah. So you mean if I put my flesh first, if I put what I want, my agenda first, I become all these negative things. Why? Because my flesh is dictating and calling the shots. This is a time where you can subjugate your flesh. And you can say, God, I want you to show up. I want you to be here. Point number three, the third benefit of fasting. It brings spiritual guidance and direction. How many would like for God to direct your life in 2023? How many, you don't have to raise your hand, how many are sick of making your own decisions and hoping God would bless it and you realize, okay, good, you did raise your hand. I don't want to just have a good idea. I want a God idea, amen? Yeah. I want to hear from God. I don't want to try this because this is great, or maybe my friends are doing. No, God, I need you to show up. I want you to direct me. I want you to give me guidance, you know? And I'll tell you the truth. Before I got married, I married Renee. It's my beautiful wife. Give her a hand clap, would you? We've been married for 33 years, happily married for 33 years. And let me tell you what. She's beautiful now, but she was a knockout before I married her. She's beautiful, gorgeous. And I just said, God, if I go to my flesh, I'd have married her last year, you know. She really looks good. But I said, I can't go by my flesh. I've already made too many dumb mistakes with my flesh. I've already done the worldly dating thing. It doesn't work. What do you get? You get a lot of heartache and broken hearts and destroyed people that go by the flesh. And I said, God, I don't want to do that. I want to do it your way. Can I tell you what? I prayed and fasted for over 3 days. I prayed and fasted, God, if she is not the one, tell me. And God spoke to me. I'm so glad he did. She's the one. But it came with prayer and fasting. It wasn't just a fleshly idea. It wasn't just a good idea. It was a God idea. We need guidance. You need guidance. So praying and fasting, we get out of the realm of our own carnality and we get into the spirit and say, God, I can hear your voice now. I love Acts chapter 13, 2, when Paul's praying, he says, and while they were ministering to the Lord with fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the ministry. And Saul became Paul later and wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Wow, aren't you glad they heard the Lord? Aren't you glad the apostles heard the Lord when they were fasting and they didn't? It wasn't just Barnabas and Theotis or Barnabas and Luke, but it was Paul. They got the right one. Why? Through prayer and fasting. It wasn't just who was available. It was, let's get God's idea. Let's get God's choice in this. And they set aside Paul and Barnabas. But Paul was in there because they prayed and God spoke. Number four, when we fast, there's a growing intimacy with God. How many know that when you're with someone, proximity and presence, when you're with someone, all of a sudden there's a connection? It's just, you can't help it. When you're with people, you can't help but like them or get to know them better. And that's why it's so important that you spend time with people. That's why this COVID thing has been so destructive, because there's been the absence of physical presence and proximity with people. That's why so many kids are messed up and so many kids are taking medication now, because they haven't had socialization. We all need that. Can I tell you what? You need, to be a normal person, you need anywhere from 8 to 12 meaningful touches every day. Someone touch you, shake your hand, hug you. How you doing? Pat you on the back. Touch somebody. Yeah, touch them. We want everybody sane in here by the time they leave. We want you psychologically normal, okay? So touch somebody. Yeah, you feel better now, don't you? Yeah. 8 to 12. And so when you're with somebody, when you're with God, when you spend time with God, cut off the TV. Get off that stupid Facebook. Get off that. You don't need to play any more games. Why don't you read the Bible and pray in the Spirit and say, God, please come into my life this year. I want to be something I wasn't when the year started. I want to do more than I did last year because I'm growing and I'm maturing. And because I'm maturing, because I'm spending time with you. And can I tell you what? You become like the people you spend time with. You do. You become like the people you spend time with. If you spend time with secular people, you're going to be very secular. And if you've spent time with godly people, but if you spend time with God himself, something supernatural happens. Amen. The power of God comes on you. I remember one time I was at a Champions for Christ meeting in Orlando, and we had pro athletes there. And I'd just come off a long fast. And I remember going there, and there was a guy, I think he played for the Baltimore Colts, who are the Colts now? Indianapolis Colts. And he came there, and I just shook his hand, and he started crying. And he said, when you shook my hand, I felt the warmth of God and the acceptance of God. Would you please talk to me after this? I just shook his hand. I didn't say, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, or pray with me and God will give you a big contract. No, I just shook a hand, and he started weeping and crying, and I was able to minister to him. It wasn't me, it was God in me. Why? Because I had been with God. Wow. Remember when Moses went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, came down with the Ten Commandments, and they couldn't look at him. Why? He had been with God. There was something about him that marked him, that made him different. Yeah. He had been in the very presence of God. They said, we can't look at you, Moses. Just tell us what to do and we'll do it. Of course, they didn't. But they knew they could not deny the fact that God had changed the man. He'd been in the very presence of God. That's right. I want God's fingerprints on my life. How about you? I want God's presence to go before me. I want people to say, well, I like Ken Doo because he's a good preacher. No, I want him to say, this man is in touch with God. These people are in touch with God. They have a relationship. They're growing closer with God. And the greater you grow with God, the more the things that you thought were valuable and intriguing and tantalizing become a vapor. Why was I even attracted to that? Why did I want to do that? Oh, some of you need to go four or 5 days more fasting. Anyway, hallelujah. 5 might not be enough. Anyway, you pray about it. Intimacy with God. So Daniel said this in Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. He says, so I gave attention to the Lord my God to seek him by prayer and supplication with fasting. I gave attention to the Lord my God. This is 21 days. It's not one afternoon or one Wednesday night just to tick the religious box. I did it for 21 days. And God sent an angel and said, hey, you got my attention. I'm battling in the heavenlies for you. I'm pushing back forces of darkness. I'm pushing back demonic strongholds because you're praying and you're fasting. And God anointed that man, Daniel, not just because he was a prophet, but because he was close to God. He had a relationship with God. He was intimate with God. Number 5, it brings healing and deliverance. It brings healing and deliverance. Anytime I minister inner healing and deliverance, my wife knows this too, is I will pray and fast. I don't just go in there and say, well, I know what the Bible says and I've done this before. No, you better go in with some spiritual artillery or you're going to get your head cut off. I've gone in places where I've seen things and I've thought, this is so wicked and so demonic, I have got to go back and pray some more. Why? Because it's not just my words. It's not me just quoting the Bible to somebody. It's do I have the power of the Holy Spirit and the light of God in my ministry to push back and get this person set free? It brings healing and deliverance. And the Lord told me before, he says, this happened because you fasted. It's not because you did this, because you fasted and because I came on the scene. Ladies and gentlemen, fasting brings God on the scene. Fasting brings anointing. Fasting brings power. And it's not because you fasted, it's because God wants to use you, as pitiful as you and I are. And if we'll simply deny our flesh, he will show up and do miracles and do marvelous works in our midst. It brings deliverance and anointing. The last one, number 6, it brings physical health and healing. You know, all the health food issues now and all the new physiologists and everything, exercise physiology, they're saying intermittent fasting is the way to go because it gets your system in keto and you start burning fat and you're using muscle. And they're agreeing with what the Bible told us thousands of years ago. The modern exercise physiology experts are saying the same thing. You should fast. Shouldn't eat this, or should intermittent fast, go without food, and it kickstarts your metabolism, and all these things start happening. You start burning fat, and you start using, you know, you have protein that you can assimilate, and all these things start happening, you see. So that's at the end of the line. So the good thing is you're going to look better in 5 days, amen. The good thing, you're going to feel better in 5 days. Because you're going to say, golly, I flushed out all these toxins. I got all this rubbish and sugar and, you know, all that stuff I ate. It's out of my system. I feel better. And you know what? When you get all that stuff out, you can hear. I can hear the voice of God. I can hear the Spirit of God. The static's gone. It's not as confusing anymore. And all of a sudden now, God can tell you what to do. He can speak to you and I. We can be an instrument of light and progress in Tallahassee and quit worrying about what we're going to eat or what we're going to get next week or who's going to like us on Facebook. But God, I've met you and I'm with you. My mission is to be light and salt in this earth. And by fasting, I'm going to hit that mark. Bow your heads with me. If you could come on up, Rachel. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you for the fact that you've called us to be people who pray, who fast and consecrate ourselves. Lord, we understand that there's something significant when we say no to the flesh. We say no to the things of this world, and we say yes to your Spirit. Father, we want to have a desire to know you and to be an instrument used by you. Father, we know fasting denies the flesh, and it helps us tune into your Spirit. So, Lord, this week of prayer, fasting, and consecration, we want to be able to say no to the things that would distract and say yes to the thing that's important. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Ken, this is what I need to do, maybe for the first time ever, or maybe for the first time in a long time, I'm going to make this a holy week for me. It's not just, well, I'm going through this with my church. This is going to be a holy week where I really get serious and spend time with God. I abstain from food. I abstain from the flesh. And I devote and consecrate myself to the purposes of God. It's only 1 week. You're not going to die. You're not going to shrivel up and blow away. You're going to make it. But you got to realize that something is going to flourish in you that the enemy doesn't want to flourish, and that's the spirit man. It's that spirit life. It's that dynamic thing that when it's enlivened by the Spirit of God through fasting and through dedication and consecration, all of a sudden the voice of God you can hear. All of a sudden you feel his presence. All of a sudden there's a great new power to say yes to God and no to temptation. That's what spiritual disciplines do. They help us walk out and be the godly people God has destined us to be. Father, I pray that we would be that people. That, Lord, as we pray and as we fast, as we put aside the fleshly desires that always distract and always pull upon our five senses, that this week we would be so God-conscious and so honed in on you that, Lord, that you would take us to a new dimension of understanding your Spirit and presence. Thank you, God, for a great year. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for giving us so many wonderful things around Christmas. We're a blessed people. But now, God, we want to give back. And we want to dedicate ourselves and consecrate ourselves and fast this week. Not just go without food, but we want to pray. We want to spend time with the people of God. We want to read your word. We want to have devotions where we're growing closer with you. And Father, we want to cap it off with consecration. So, Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. With your heads down, your eyes closed, if you're here today and you say, Pastor Ken, this is going to be a serious week for me where I do what you've talked about this morning. I'm going to dedicate this week to consecrating myself to the Lord. Would you just raise your hand if that's your heart? Just raise your hand up high. Yes. Yes, raise your hand up. Thank God. All across this room, you can put your hand down. Lord, I thank you for all the people who've raised their hand. They would say, this week I'm going to consecrate myself through prayer and fasting, by spending time in your word, by spending time praying, by spending time with your people, so that we can have victory in our lives individually and victory corporately as a church. So, Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Can we give God a good hand clap? Thank you.